Well, we give you a warm welcome to our worship this morning. It's coming back from evening, never mind. We're on this Trinity Sunday, and we'll be thinking about that later on. I forgot to put my watch on this morning, but you have a clock here which is a bit slower than mine. And we have a calendar somewhere, so we'll be alright. We'll start worship with 11. Number 11, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. I'm not sure whether you follow the Christian calendar or not, but if you do, then today is Trinity Sunday. Last week was Pentecost. This week is Trinity Sunday. I don't always follow it myself, I've got to be honest. And sometimes when I do try to follow it, I get it wrong. As I said to somebody once, you never need worry about getting it wrong, because there's always plenty of folks there to tell you. And so I was preaching about Spatria one Sunday morning, and I got it wrong. An Anglican, retiring Anglican vicar came after, and you always know when you're in trouble, because they said, did I hear you say? So I said, no, you never, you must have heard my father. He says, which lectionary do you use? So I said, I use me own. But anyway, this morning is Trinity Sunday, and once I find me sermon on this piece of technical equipment, we might be able to proceed. Trinity is a word that isn't in the Bible, and so therefore you'll probably say, then what are you talking about this for, because we're not much interested in anything that isn't in Scripture. But Trinity isn't a scriptural word, but you find it everywhere in the Bible. Philip Hacking, who was one time minister of vicar of a church at Fulwood, Sheffield, was visited by some Jehovah's Witnesses once, and the conversation come around to Trinity, and they said to him, well, we can't find the word Trinity anywhere in the Bible. Well, Philip says, well, that's funny, because he just said, I can't miss it. It seems to be everywhere. And it is indeed everywhere. It's in the Bible, and while it might not be mentioned in name, in word, we can see it everywhere. That we look everywhere, we look through the Bible. We have been recent, I'm trying to find my sermon, but it should be here somewhere. It won't be the first time we're going without it, because I went to this place I was telling you about before, and I got there and I'd forgotten my iPad, so I had to tell them what I was going to tell them. He said, tell them what I wanted to tell them, but it's not what I was going to tell them, so. So that isn't the first time, it isn't last time it's happened either. But anyway, never mind. And we've been going to a Bible study at Appleby, and Mary and me, the minister there is doing a Bible study, and he's been doing a study on the book of Esther. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Esther, it's in the Old Testament, of course. It never ever in the Bible does it mention the God. God is never mentioned at all. It's about, there's only two books in the Bible where God isn't mentioned, and the book of Esther is one. But as Andrew's been taking us through the study of this book of Esther, while we might not know the word of God, the hand of God, we see it on every hand and side. We see it in how Esther conducted herself. We see it in Mordecai, and we even see it in Haman, and how the Lord dealt with him. And so, while we might not read of the word Trinity in the Bible, we find it almost on every page. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus said before he left this earth, his command to his disciples was that you go out into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So there, while we know Jesus doesn't mention the word Trinity, he infers that we worship a triune God, in that we're commanded to make disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it's a lovely thing for a preacher about this subject that we have this morning, is that it is naturally divided into three parts. We have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we look at the three separately. Each one of us is loved by God. I don't think that we ever can really comprehend God's love for you and for me. You see, if we love another person, as most of us do, then we love that person because that person is what that person is. We are attracted to a person because of their personality, or because for 100 different things we are attracted to them. But God loves us. You see, I feel that the word that we use for love has been corrupted in so many different ways. Some of the pop songs that you've heard, well, I don't listen to any these days, and I never did really, and I got the impression that love was God. But the Bible tells us in the letter to John that God is love. And so what I want you to remember this morning, if you remember nothing else, that you are loved by God, and God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loves the whole world. Now, we can't really comprehend that, because we read on the, we hear so often times on our television set, newspapers, whatever, of the terrible things that mankind can do to mankind, man's inhumanity to mankind, and yet God's love is there for each. God hates the sin that causes people to do things, but God loves the sinner. The Bible, the Greek language, even has a special word for the love of God for us. It's agape, agape, depends which side of the pond you live. And God's love for you is beyond our ability to understand. The BBC was doing a documentary on the Elm Wind. If you live out on the East Trail side, we are sort of sheltered from it, so we don't feel it much. And so where's the Dufton, where no daughter or family lives, then it's a bit different there. And so the BBC went there and were interviewing one of the farmers from there, and they said, you know, can you describe what the Elm Wind is like? Well, he said in his own droll way, he said, it's indescribable. He said, it can pin a sheep to a wire fence with no problem. He said, the element, you can't begin to describe it. You cannot begin to describe the love that God has for you and me. God doesn't love us because of what we are. He doesn't love us because we're here this morning. He doesn't love us because we've done all sorts of good things this past week. Some of you probably have. But God loves us in spite of what we are. God has loved us with an everlasting love. God, love for you is forever sealed in the cross of Christ. And I want to, if you can, and I know some of you probably have passed through difficult times, terrible times, when you've probably even doubted the love. A young lady came to me a while ago, and you know, what teenagers are like, and you know, they're. And she said, nobody loves me. And I said, Peter, I said, that isn't true. And I said, you know it, I know it. But I said, even if it was true, I said, it doesn't really matter, does it? Because I said, there is a one that loves you. And I said, I'll tell you something more sweet. I said, he has loved you. He loves you so much that he gave his son to be our saviour. He loved you so much that he gave his life for you. I said, I'll tell you something more, Pet. I said, he is wanting to come into your life and he's wanting to transform your life. I said, he's not going to come crashing in. I said, you've got to put your responsibilities, put yourself in a place where God can speak to you, where God can deal with you. And we heard a few things about her later on. She came back and she says to us, I said, well, do you want to tell us what has happened? She said, I'll start crying if I do. Well, I said, don't matter. She says, I did what you said. And she said, and something wonderful happened in my life. She says, I can't begin to explain to you. She says, the best thing that ever happened to me happened. Where she's at today, but I've one thing for certain. I believe that God will honour her commitment to him, because God's love for her is everlasting. It goes beyond all the things we do and don't do. God's love for you is immeasurable. And I cannot begin to fully explain. There aren't words in the English language that have terrible good command of it, but there aren't words that can express God's love for you. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do with what you do for him. It has nothing to do with us. God's love for us is beyond our understanding. If you think the church is boring and dull today, it's because they haven't discovered the love of God. It is beyond our ability to understand. I find it difficult to find the words to express God's love for you, but love was always a consequence. You know, if you have love for another person, if you have love for anyone else, then that has a consequence. If that person is taken from you, then you mourn the loss of that love, for that is a price that is attached to love, and the love God has for you has a price, because it's a problem. The problem, it is your sin and my sin that separates us from God. God loves us, but that love doesn't overrule our sinfulness. Sin has a price. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. But the gift of God is eternal life. One of the things that our rebellion does not water down the love of God, but our rebellion blocks us from this love that God has from. There is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode, an offering and a sacrifice, as the hymn writer says. The love of God was such, it brought a sinner such as me nigh unto God, the hymn writer says. There's lots of space, places in the Bible, if you read it at all, where it tells you that there is a block, there is something between, we have God's love on the one hand, and we have our sinfulness and our rebellion on the other hand, and so there is a block. If you read the story in the Bible that Jesus told us, he said there was a rich man went to hell, and he was separating, and so he wanted to come back and tell his friends of the torment of where he was. If sin has a price, there is an eternal separation between the love of God for us on one hand and our rebelliousness on the other. There is an eternal separation. Now, I'd be less than appreciative if I told you anything different. But because of his great love for you, God, who is rich in mercy, as the reading says, made us alive with Christ. There is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode. There is a way for you and me to be one with God, and it is nothing to do with what you and me do. We can do all the good we like in the world today. We are not saved by our good works. We are saved for good works. There is this block at which a gulf is fixed between God on one hand and God's love for us. God is desperate to reach out to us, but we cannot respond because of our sin. We have this love God has for us as a consequence in that. This holy God that we're singing about in the first hymn, we're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is God." Well, if you know anything, if you have any experience of God at all, you know that God is holy beyond anything we ourselves can say or even begin to understand. This gulf is fixed between us and God. But God, who is rich in mercy, came down to this earth in the form of Jesus Christ. And he made it possible. There is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode, an offering and a sacrifice. God made a sacrifice for you and for me. He not only loved us with an everlasting love, but he made it possible for you and I to step across this bridge. And this bridge is Jesus Christ. We are loved by God and we are redeemed by Jesus Christ. Into this impossible situation steps God himself in Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. We are redeemed by Jesus Christ. No condemnation now I dread, right he for me. The hymn writer says, Jesus Christ is all that you and I need to have fellowship with God. Jesus is everything. God, because God was in Jesus Christ, this is the problem that so many people cannot get their heads around. They cannot understand why we have God. The Muslim wouldn't accept the Trinity at all, because they say you cannot have a God that is divided. But that's the wonder of the Christian gospel. God, we have God with his great love on one hand, and we have man's rebelliousness on the other hand. And the Christmas story is that God came down. God reached down. He reached across. There's nothing that you and I can do that can bridge this gap between us and God. It is only God himself. He came down, he became a man that he might live out a perfect life and reconcile us to God. And he would bridge this gap. So we are loved by God and we are redeemed by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is all that we need. The choruses that we sing these days tells us that Christ is the answer to our every need. He is what the Bible says, a propitiation for our sin. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but it means that Christ is adequate got to bridge this gulf between us and God. And then into this relationship there comes the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Now, then, I was once years ago, I know there's no one here at this point, I was at the preacher's meeting when I was out, and I said, I'm a sort of, in my younger days, when I used to speak out, and I was willing to keep quiet, and I said I was much more interested in this doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Oh, goodness me, I thought I don't know what I said, but there was a dead silence. Minister came to me after, he said, "You want to kill a conversation?" He said, "Just start talking about the Holy Spirit." And it was a dead silence. Yeah, often people become silent. When you mention the Holy Spirit, there's all these visions of the. But the Holy Spirit is part of your salvation. Is part of my salvation. The Holy Spirit is God at work in us. I was watching television, I probably watched too much television. I was watching a film a while ago, a couple of weeks ago, it was a film about Matthew's Gospel and the crucifixion of Christ, and it was quite well done, and not that I would know, but it seemed to be quite well done, and it showed this film, and I watched it, and it showed the crucifixion of Christ and I thought, oh, right, is that it? Is that what there is? Is that all there is to it? And I thought, well, that hasn't done much for me. And I was a bit bothered, to be honest. I thought, what is this that we have believed as Christians? Is it just a story that can be told, or is it just a tale that has been handed down to us from here? And then the Holy Spirit is missing from this. You see, it was the Holy Spirit that made that story that was told come alive to me. It was when I thought about the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals things to us. That comes to the third point. And the last point, without the Holy Spirit, then everything is just words, everything is just, it is the Holy Spirit that brings things alive. See, there's nothing strange about this. We Methodists believe that the Holy Spirit comes to us when we, at our conversion. You see, it is the Holy Spirit that gives us peace with God. We know that God is on the perfect God on one hand. We have Jesus Christ on the other. We have Jesus Christ that bridges this gap. He pays the price of our sin. And he makes it possible for you and I to have fellowship with God. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives assurance. He gives us understanding of this. You know, Wesley Aldous Wesley, he said he felt his heart strangely warmed, or something happened within him. And then on the day of Pentecost, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit is the perfect communicator between God and us. Some of us are not very good, and Duncan's going to show us a clip, we hope and see. Duncan's going to show us a clip just now. We're not very good at communicating. Now, I'll show you how good I am. And our printer, he ran out of ink. And so I rung the company up that we used to get our office equipment off on the farm, and I said I was wanting some, and I rung the number. My heart sank when it was a chap with an Indian accent that answered the phone. I thought, I'm in trouble. And so I managed to tell him what I wanted regarding the print cartridges. By some miraculous means I managed to get that across to him. And then he said the dreaded things. He said, is there anything else? He said, we're doing special offers on paper. And he said, we're doing 12, well, I don't, do you know anything about paper? Paper comes in reams. The reams is about 500 sheets, and a box of paper is about 5 packs of 500 sheets. I said, are we doing a special offer on paper? I said, no, I said, if it's all right for paper. Well, he said, it's really cheap. And so I thought, well, you know, we may as well have some paper. And I said, well, yes, we are right. Or then he says it's in packs of 12. I thought, well, a box is 5. So to have a box of 12, then it'd be more than a person. You're not allowed to lift any more 25 kilos there. And so I thought, that's be more than a person is allowed to lift. I said, can't do that. I thought, well, it probably said 12 boxes. And so, I was just saying yes, because I couldn't understand what you were saying. So I said, yes, yeah, yeah. And so he said, can I have your proper address? And I said, well, yeah, I'll spell it out here. So I started Harrison, Holmescroft, Langwathby, and all these, spelling out word by word. And he said, I'll spell it back here. And he starts this Alpha Echo, something, and I just said, yes. And so we waited for it to come. And so the address that came on the thing is on the screen here. That's the address. That's my interpretation to him. And I said to the girl, I said, how on earth did he ever find us? I said, must have been a miracle. No, she said, I just looked at the postcode. She said, it was right at the bottom. And by the way, in case you're wondering, I said to our daughter, she's business management school where Rachel Smith is head teacher. I told her daughter about it. She didn't know what she'd done. I said, I don't know if I ordered 12 boxes or 12 rooms or what. I said, I don't know. But, well, she said, you've got 12 boxes. She says, I'll buy them off you for school. I said, don't pay for them till you need them, and I'll roll the stuff for money. I said, we'll just. And so the next day, the girl landed with 12 toilet rolls. So that was my attempt at communicating. The Holy Spirit is a perfect communicator. But I was glad that, you know, I'm not the only one that gets it wrong. I think Duncan has another clip for us. I'm not the only one that doesn't understand correctly. It might be a bit dull, but you might hopefully see it. So it didn't mean it's all that gets you drunk, you know. I hope there's nobody offended by that this morning. You've been extremely careful what you do this morning. But you see, God is, the Holy Spirit is a perfect, he doesn't get it wrong like I do, he doesn't misunderstand like the chap does. God is a perfect communicator, and he communicates with each one of us. And we're reading in the Acts of the Apostles. You know, we were thinking about this in the Bible study the other night. It's a wonderful verse in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. You remember they were all gathered together in one room, and the Holy Spirit came upon them in a miraculous way. There was people there from the day of Pentecost, from all kinds of different nations. We'll go through them. And what it says here, this is really good, what it says, the Spirit gave them understanding. They came from different nations, but each one understood. Each one understood. The Spirit of God can communicate with you and me. It speaks to us. The Spirit of God can communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where we come from, doesn't matter what our understanding is, but it says here that each of them, all of them, understood the message of the gospel. I pray that you and I, in spite of all the confusion of the age in which we live, that we might understand the thing that is really important, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord bless you. We pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the gospel. Father, we thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. You have given your Son to be our Saviour. You have given us the Holy Spirit that we might have understanding concerning your love for us and the sacrifice of Christ. And Father, we pray that this might become real to each one of us in our daily lives. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.